Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 197. This is part two, God's Will is Your Deliverance. Today is Sunday, June 5th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I have a couple quick announcements about Pastor Paul's club. It's located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, Pastor Paul's Club is more than just free groceries once a month. Once you register as a club member, you're able to get free groceries once a month, but you can also pick up free bread every day. You can also purchase foods from Pastor Paul at ridiculously low prices. For instance, Pastor Paul has a lot of perishables, a lot of produce by the case and large quantities. We also have frozen foods by the case and large quantities. And you can purchase those from Pastor Paul's at ridiculously low prices. In fact, Pastor Paul asks that you just bring dollar bills. Anything larger than a 10, he will send you to Vegas. There you go. So dollar bills, you can purchase foods from Pastor Paul every day. And I'm at the grocery counter, so I will be registering you. And what I need you to bring is your picture ID, a current piece of mail to verify your address, and your verification of your household members the first time. You'll fill out a form, and you'll be able to get groceries that day. So be sure to check that information out. I have it posted at Pastor Paul's website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. And there's a link in the show notes for that information. Now, about Pastor Paul's podcast, I hope you're listening to part one and part two, the conclusion. Now, they're published on Friday and Sunday, but you know when you subscribe, you'll be able to get the message all the time as soon as it's published, and you can listen anytime you want. So be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now, for the month of June, these are the following messages. God's will is your deliverance, a spiritual wind, God's Today, Peter, Do You Love Me? Four messages for the month of June, the beginning of summer. Also, I should mention, when you go to Pastor Paul's website at www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find the links to Pastor Paul's podcast, to Pastor Paul's blog, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to see the show notes where the scriptures that are in Pastor Paul's messages are located. So scripture links at the blog. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, on Thursdays, I do a live Tweets Inside. When I'm recording Pastor Paul's message in the digital format and then producing this podcast, I am doing live tweets as I listen to Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check that out. Live Tweets Inside on Thursdays, generally on Thursdays. So if you have any questions, any comments, or you want to make a suggestion or give a testimony, here's the comment line, 1-877-489-0922. And the local number is 612-208-0916. All this information is located at Pastor Paul's blog. Listen, have a great month of June, and we love you listening. And be sure to register your household if you need food at Pastor Paul's Club. God bless you. Have a great month of June. We'll see you back here every week. And be sure to send this podcast to a friend. If you love them, you will send them the podcast. God bless you.
Do you give your kids trials? Every day. Something that they have not been able to do before, you say, well, now you are going to clean yourself. I have potty trained you, right, Debbie? You're potty trained? That's a trial for that kid. Every time that he poopied in his pants, then he got a spanking. Right? Huh? A swat. No, go potty. Huh? Wasn't that a trial for him? But didn't he grow? Now he doesn't have to walk around with dirty, stinking diapers, and people like him a little better. But boy, what a trial to go through just to learn how to sit down on the pot. Take care of business. Are you hearing this? No, what a trial it was trying to get that oatmeal. And he'd use his whole fist instead of using the spoon. Use his whole fist and the thumb is sticking out there, and he goes like this and he misses his face and sticks himself in the eye with his thumb and sticks the oatmeal up his nose, splatters it on his head, and it turns upside down, spills all over his front. Wasn't that a trial? Just learning how to eat, isn't that a trial? And on time after time, don't you get after the kid? No, 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 no. And as they grow older, then you have to give them more trials, and they grow in grace. And you're graceful with them, aren't you? Oh, that's okay. Try again. Try again. You'll get some oatmeal in your face sooner or later. And they take their little hands and get into it and try to stuff it in their face. And you don't say too much. But now when they're 30 years old and they got great big old hands and they're trying to stuff oatmeal in their face with a great big old bear paw, now it's time to say something, ain't it? How many would give their 30-year-old kid a trial if he was still in diapers and he was not potty trained at 30 years old? Come on now. You'd say, leave until you learn how to take care of yourself. You'd still be welcome back. Isn't that the consoling truth, though? The Lord sends trials upon His saints. Didn't you have a lot of trials this week? Lish? Man. But you're making it through. You'll be able to minister to somebody else who's going through the very same thing that's in business, won't you? Say, oh yeah, I know how that is. Well, you just got to, it'll all work out beautifully. Wait, someone's saying on the radio, explain this. Argue with me. Argue the scriptures. No, I'm not going to argue with you. No, I'm not called to explain the scriptures, but to believe the scriptures. Trials are sent of God. Well, you might think you have a hand in it and you're getting a trial because you were naughty. Well, yeah, you were naughty, but the trial is sent by God. See, because if you made up a trial for yourself, it would be an ouchless Band-Aid. This is time for surgery. See, a great many things, when they are said to be explained by modern thinkers, are merely explained away. You ever been around somebody that can explain a whole thing away? I'm sorry, I myself have never learned that hellish humanistic art yet. To just explain away unloved, just total tearing down. Slander and all this garbage. Are you hearing this? And just explain it away. And this woman called me up and says, I can't believe it. I've known these people for so and so and so. And I said, well, why are you surprised? They're sinners saved by grace. What's the big surprise here? But they just explain everything away and say, praise the Lord, how are you? See, the death of Jesus Christ was predetermined, and still it was considered an atrocious crime of the ungodly man. See, omnipotence, let's say, and providence of God are to be believed. Not to study and try to understand, but to believe it. But then again, man's responsibility is not to, therefore, to be questioned. We have a responsibility also. See, our afflictions may definitely and distinctly come from man as a result of their persecuting or their malice, and yet they may come with even a greater certainty from the Lord. They come through the man, but God allows it. And maybe it'll be a needful outcome of his special love to us. Huh. We'll call that love, sicking all them dogs on me. Well, man has a responsibility, and they are probably go on their own. But God will turn it around for good, because God gets a lot of glory out of a lot of things like that. Isn't there a song? To God be the glory. How does that go? To God be the glory. Doesn't it go like that? Do you really mean that? See, there has to be some kind of a cause in your life, and something happens traumatically to you or whatever, and then you're delivered out of this trial and this tribulation and all this suffering and so on like that, and God gets the glory. Do you really mean it? Isn't there a verse that says, I know there is, but isn't there? I'm asking you. You really want to get into it? God will get glory out of this. Isn't that the way to look at it? Are you not going to share in the glory? Not here. See, man, just don't miss it, man is the glory of God. Are you hearing this? And so, for this very reason, we may wisely moderate our anger against the second causes. And don't get too mad at second causes, because there's a higher cause and a divine call and a divine cause that's directing all of those. He is the author and he is the finisher, and maybe somebody puts their 2 cents worth in. But he is the director, and he'll cut out what's to be cut out. He goes over the whole thing, see, before the scene, before the final show. He goes into the cutting room. There was a dog out here, and they were striking him with a stick. You know what the dog was doing? He was biting on the stick. I thought, oh boy, if you weren't so dumb, you'd snap at the person. And then I thought a higher thought. If that intelligence was governed by a spirit of obedience, he would yield to the blow and learn a lesson from it. Maybe the next time he'd run away before the stick hit his head. Remember in the Bible, Shimei reviled David, it says, and his men, and said, "Let me go over, pray thee, and take off his head." And David meekly replied, the Bible says, "So let him curse. So who cares," in other words, paraphrase. "Because the Lord has said to him, curse David." No, man. Hey, don't pay no attention. The Lord has said to him, Shimei, curse David. "Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" See, the sight of God's hand in a trial is the very end. I say the very end of a rebellion against it in the case of every good man. That's the end of it. God has had his way. Go ahead and curse and scream your neck off. You know why? Because it says in the Bible, you curse and God is going to bless, so what's the difference? God's blessing will take care of 10,000 of your curses. So go ahead and let him do it. Blessed are you, happy are you when men persecute you. Say all manner of evil against for my name's sake. Great is your reward in heaven. And so in essence he's saying here, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth to him good. Oh, here, I read this just before I came in. It's Psalm 29. And it talks about, "Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame." I read that and I thought, well, those that shame a good man over and over will be clothed with confusion. And I thought that, and here's what it says. Listen, this is El Juicy. "And let them cover themselves with their own confusion as a mantle." Now let's say that a host of people go to somebody and they say, "You know what? We are confused." Well, you know why they're confused? They have set themselves against some kind of a work or some kind of a man or some kind of a woman or some kind of a something that's doing good. And as their mantle, what do they have? They have confusion. And they'll be wearing that confusion until they get right with the Lord. Isn't that an El Juicio? "Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as a mantle." Job saw this. Listen to what he says. Know how we need to get back to allowing God's will to be done. Don't we? Job said the very same thing. Very same thing. There are so many likenesses between David and Job and all of these sufferers, because in their suffering they meet Christ and they get wisdom. And he said almost the very same thing. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Not exact terms and not exact words, but so much the same. Bible says, stop kicking against the prick. Stop kicking against it. How many are hearing this? Isn't this a great view then, a point in the believer's view of his afflictions? Isn't this a great point that we're making here tonight? I think it's a great point. I think it's a wonderful point. He maketh me sore, the Bible says, and listen, and bindeth me up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Well, he does the whole thing. Anybody want to question that? Next, then, the believer perceives that his trials come as a chastening, because he says like this, the Lord hath chastened me sore. Now, when your child is chastened, I think there are a couple of things that are pretty clear. First, something is wrong in him. Isn't that clear? Maybe you'll get in and they'll call you from the daycare or from the school or whatever. Where also points out something is deficient in him, so that he needs to be corrected and he needs to be instructed. So it isn't all bad. If nothing showed up, you wouldn't know what to correct. And a lot of times, by the way, what you see in your children is exactly what they imitate in you. Come on. Put their lip out there, they stamp. You think that they were doing the Mexican hat dance. And yet, you'll hear yourself doing the very same things and being very emotional, and your voice getting real high and cracking and breaking and everything else. And they'll call and they'll say, Marty, I can't handle this kid. And I'm just using you because you're sitting there, you know. Did you ever think back? I think, secondly, it shows the father has a tender care for his benefit and acts in loving wisdom towards him. I think this is true of any good parent. No, the child doesn't understand. But wisdom knows better. Well, why did you do that? Why do I have to go in my room? Why is this out of bounds and that out of bounds? And why am I grounded? And why? Why, baby, why? Tell me why? I mean, what's wrong with finger paint with peanut butter and jam all over my hands, all over the walls? Look how pretty it is. No chastening, it says in the Bible, for the present seemeth joyous. No! Oh, that hurts! Oh. My mother. She says, now we're living in this apartment. I'm going to bare-bottom you and give you 10 good whacks. You cry out, you get 10 more. Okay? So I didn't cry out, but it always seemed like I got 11. And a pinch to grow on. Well, you know, at the time, it didn't seem good. No chastening for the time seemeth joyous. Right? And I always wanted to know, and I had something about me, and I had this socket there, you know, and I thought, now, don't put your hand in the socket. Don't put your finger in there. See, years ago, you had to screw in the little the adapter into there to put the plug in, but they never had the plug-ins. They just had a hole there, see? And I'd sit and I'd look at that thing, and I'd look at it and look at it. Now, don't touch that. Keep your fingers out of there. And I'd look at it, and I thought, well, I just really wonder what would happen if you did put your finger in there. I can tell you what will happen. You'll have no fingernail. And you'll get spanked 11 times. Isn't that right? It doesn't seem joyous. You know what? You're tempted to try it again to see if it really... Huh? Does it remind you of yourself a little bit? Do you ever see your kids do nutty things like that? You got a brand new piano, and all of a sudden you see them there, what are you doing? They're carving their initials in it. And they look at you like, oh, yeah, what am I doing? How many have had that happen to them? Never had it happen? Your kid just sits right there and just do destructive things? How many have had the kids do that? You say, what are you doing? Have you no brains at all? Huh? Did it ever happen to you? Now, you have several pianos, and I know it's happened to you. So they get a spanking, and it's not joyous. It doesn't seem that way. See, if it was joyous, it wouldn't be a chastening. It doesn't seem to be joyous when you're being chastened by the Lord through some kind of a situation. See, the need be is not only that we have manifold trials, but that we have heaviness through those manifold trials. I don't mind having trials, but I don't want to feel so heavy. If you didn't feel heavy, it wouldn't be a trial. You ever notice after you chasten the child and they've done wrong and then they have a good ball out, good snotter. Their nose is running and their eyes is running and they're crying and carrying on. And then when they're all done, they're real good and they're real happy and their whole face is beaming and you hug them and kiss them and pick them up. God will never chasten you to pieces, but that he'll pick you up and hug you and kiss you. Because you've learned your lesson and you feel real good and you're right with your mom and your dad and you're right with God the same way. Huh? And you feel good about yourself. See, because in the smarting of the sorrow lies the blessing of the chastisement. God chastens us, in other words, in the very purest love, because he sees that there is an absolute necessity for it. For he doeth not inflict willingly nor grieve the children of men, the Bible says. What are you saying here tonight? Listen to Hezekiah. When he recovered after this sickness, he wrote like this, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all things is the life of my spirit. Don't we find ourselves through the opposites? In sickness, we find health. Well, what would health be unless there was sickness? And what would sickness be unless there was... you find yourself through that. The opposite. In the suffering, we find the joy. Or what would joy be? It's sort of a chessy cat, an ignorant, smiling, grinning, not knowing nothing person. You wouldn't even have such a word as joy if you didn't have suffering. The Bible says so. First the suffering, then the joy. There's got to be the opposite. You've got to find yourself through those things. How about poverty? That's you find wealth through poverty. How could you say you're rich if you had nothing to measure it up to? If you were poor, poverty can bring you into knowing what rich is. Now you know, I've learned to be content whatsoever state I'm in. The state of poverty or the state of wealth. And so the Bible says the people of God look upon their present affliction as a chastening. What son, it says in the Bible, is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Well, lately I feel like I'm a favorite. You know something? You always learn through the chastening. As many as I love, the Bible says, I rebuke and I chasten. So sad it is to see parents who really don't care. There's a total unlove, and you can call it laziness. Like it's laziness, but laziness is unlove too. And the kid can just do anything, and the person, oh, I don't care. Go do whatever you're going to do. Well, I'm going to do this, and so the kid does horrendous things. Why is he doing those horrendous things? He's looking for love. Even some kids want to be paddled, so they'll really get into heavy things, so they get whipped. They're looking for an expression of love. Some parents that don't even care. Hey, I don't care what you do. Get lost. Smoke dope until they put a chimney on your head. Who cares? Get lost, kid. Now, if you really love that kid, you're going to chasten him. You're going to give him a spanking. You're going to give him a rebuke. And say, you cannot continue on like this. The end there is death. Now, if you didn't care, you say, well, just pack yourself. Get out, will you? Just get out of my life. Sure, you're 14, but you've made your mind up to do wrong now. Just get out of my face. I don't want to ever see you. I'll never forget. Young man came in here, and he had two false legs. You never would have known it. He did all kinds of work. You know that kid that came in with all that harness and stuff around himself and those three boys that went up and dug out the basement? Well, the one kid only had no legs. And his dad wrote a note to him one night and he said, I disown you. I never knew you. To me, you're non-existent. Get out. And so he told me that, and I said, well, now what you're going to have to do is forgive your dad because he has to live with that. And I said, do you think that's easier for him to live with that than it is for you? I imagine, I said, he's going through a terrible, heavy trip here. Are you hearing this? I said, now that didn't seem joyous, but you went through it. Now you'll be able to, your ministry has increased, and when kids get kicked out of their parents, they say, get out of my face, you make me sick. Are you hearing this? And oh, I thought, what a sweet consolation of Jehovah's rod. Our brightest joys are birth from the bitterest griefs. That opposite, when you're in a bitter, grieving spirit and a contrite heart, I'll no ways cast out. When you're in the bitterest grief, birth from that come the brightest joys. So I guess you could say good grief. Some of the most bitterest times in your life are birthed out of a terrible grief. But it's got to be there. And the bigger the grief, the greater the joy. How can you appreciate anything until you've had the opposite? It Because a chastened spirit is a gracious spirit. So how shall we obtain it unless we are chastened? How do you get a gracious spirit? By being chastened by the one that loves you, the one that rebukes you, and the one that loves you. How will you ever grow in the grace and knowledge? Even as a physical child, how will you ever grow in any kind of knowledge if you haven't been rebuked by the parent and chastened by the parent and led by the hand? And so like our Lord, we learn obedience in all things which we suffer. And what's that I hear you saying on the radio? By faith, I claim not to go the way of Jesus? That's interesting. God had one son, the Bible says, without sin, but he never had a son without sorrow, and he never will while the world turns. Forget claiming different. You're all going to have it, every one of you listening on the radio. God never has a son that doesn't have some kind of sorrow. No, he doesn't. There is going to be an affliction sent by God. There's got to be a chastening, and there's got to be trials so that you can grow, so that you'll have opportunities that come your way. And so let's bless God for all his dealings. And, well, doesn't it say that in the Bible? In all things give thanks. Not for all things, in all things, because you're going to be in them. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you, God is concerned about you. Thy Lord hath chastened me. And so now look at the psalmist's view here of his affliction. The Lord chastened me sore. How about slander? Doesn't that chasten you sore? How about gossip? How about despair? And what's my answer? Yes, God does allow it. See, it's how you come out of a thing that makes the difference. This is how you react to an action that makes the difference. It's called faith. Look at Job here. His wife says, "Curse God and die, bum!" But no, he said, "You are a very foolish woman." And then he adds wisely, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Argue that one. Now listen, he puts in a but. And he puts this but in, and he knows that his trial is limited. How many know if you're going through a trial, there is a limit? There is a limit switch that goes off when it overloads, it'll blow a fuse. And God puts in a new fuse, your light goes on again, and it gets ready for another overload. Not so, you say? Not realistic, says I. See, our Father's anger at our sin will never blaze into wrath against us. Though in his mercy he will smite everything that's wrong, every sin. There is a gracious boundary that let's call it boundary waters. And he'll take you right up to the water with the thing, and by the time you get to the water, you're willing to drink. You can be led to water, but you can't be made to drink. Oh yeah, by the time you get there, you're more than willing to drink of the water of life and say, "Yes, you are right. The Lord chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death." Have we not experienced a trial and a trouble which might not have been worse? See, one affliction kills another. Well, let's say you had a sore toe. Huh? And then somebody came and hit you over the head with a baseball bat. Wouldn't that take care of your sore toe? Let's face it. One affliction wipes out another. Well, doesn't the world say that? It says, it seems like when trouble comes, it comes in barrelfuls, or what do they say? Something like that. Comes in bunches. Huh? Doesn't it say that? Don't they say that? Aren't they right? Aren't they wise? No, all wisdom comes from God. God gave that to them. And so when trouble comes, it comes in bunches. Gobs. That's a good one, ain't it? Gobs of troubles. But doesn't one take care of another? Well, just one thing starts and you got another one right away. Well, it keeps you moving. See, the wind doesn't blow east and west at the same time. And when he smites you with his left hand, he holds you up with the right. I hear him wham, and then wham, and wham. But he's always holding you up. Isn't he the lifter up? And so with the trial, the Lord makes the way to escape that we might be able to bear it, the Bible says. Faith says, and this is so beautiful, rejoice in your suffering. Why? Because you know there's an end to it. Because you think, well, this is the suffering, I'm going to rejoice in it before a worse one comes my way. See, you can make it worse by reacting. Huh? You're trying to paddle your kid, huh? And he bites you? Do you think that you lessen up on him? Or he wiggles around and yells and screams all the louder? Or you're down there at the Woolworths, or you're over at Dayton's and your kid knocks over his shelf and stands grinning at you? Well, that's okay. And you're patient. You put all these 40,000 cans in some nitwit stacked up for a kid to tip over. So then he goes on and he gets into the Baby Ruth candy bars and you look down and there he starts screaming and yelling, no, put it back. Yeah! No, I don't want you to have no more candy. It's bad for your teeth. He knows he's got you over the barrel, and he knows he just yells loud enough, but this time you're not going to take it, see? So you cagney out on the kid, see? Huh? And you grab him by the arm, you say, you're going to the restroom. And he screams all the way there. Do you think it's going to be less for the kid when he gets in the restroom because he yelled and screamed and shouted and kicked the toilet door? And said, I hate you on the way in there? No. Are you going to chasten that child? If you love him, you will. Yeah, you will. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, I'm not talking about beating kids to death. Man, no, we have letters. We get letters. Oh, hey, you liberated nincompoops. Send them in. I don't care. You know why they're liberated? Because they're liberated from doing anything, because they're most unlovely. A lot of liberation movements have no love in them, because they're liberated from any kind of action. They're liberated from work. They're liberated from any kind of dedication. They're liberated from any kind of, standing in, they're liberated. We're liberated. What? To lay down and do nothing? Rejoice. You suffering? Rejoice in that suffering. Let me lock it up here. But next, look at this. The believer's comfort under his afflictions. Listen to it. During trials, God has given me assurance it will soon pass. Does God ever, when you're going through a trial, give you little hints and little flashes that it'll soon be over? Over, we're going over, and we won't be back till it's over, over there, da, 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 over there, da, 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 da. Say a prayer, huh? Over there. It'll soon be over! And then we have World War II, and Korea, and Vietnam, and the Holocaust, and the Battle of Armageddon, World War III. I was reading a little bit on Wycliffe, the first man to preach the gospel in England during the Popish age. And I think Luther was the proclaimer of Wycliffe's doctrine. That's where he got his teaching. Anyway, Wycliffe was dying, and the priest came in and said, "Do you repent?" Wycliffe said, "Set me up in the bed, set me up in the bed." And they sat him up and he said, "I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord and to expose the wickedness of the friars." And they all gathered up their gowns in fright and ran out. Pretty near tripped over their beads getting out of there. You know what happened to him? He didn't die. God wouldn't allow it till his work was done. You want to live a bit longer? Well, then declare the works of the Lord. Now, isn't that great news? All things are working together for good to them that love God. Isn't that a good word? What a comfort. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Somebody out there waiting for you to die, to fizzle out? Bucky boy? Huh? Preacher? You're doing the cults. Well, you aren't going to die. You won't altogether perish. These are chastisements to get you going, to get you moving, so you can move in faith, and so you can trust in the Lord, and you can declare, "I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord." Why are you living? To declare God's works. To minister the gospel, the greatest work that God ever created. What's your excuse? What a comfort that is. See, if we had no experience of tribulation, what then great deliverance would we speak of? That's the point of my message tonight. God's will is to deliver. Well, why do we have to argue about the way the delivery comes? When you were born, did you argue with the doctor the way you were delivered? "Hey, I don't like this delivery. Hold it." Huh? No. You were just born in. Your delivery, spiritually speaking, your delivery out of this world, out of this womb of this world, you have very little to talk about, very little to say. God is the author and God is the finisher. And so shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to our delivering God and say, "God, have your own way"? The psalm says, "God is the Lord which hath showed us light." The psalm says. See, it was very, very dark. We couldn't see our own hand in front of our face, much less the hand of God. We were frozen in fear. We couldn't move. We were like dead men, the Bible says. And suddenly the Lord's face was made to shine upon us. And all the darkness was gone. And we leaped up into a joyful security, crying out, God is Lord, which has showed us light. Aren't we all persuaded that no one else did it but our God? How do you think you were spiritually awakened? By the light of the Lord. His light shineth out of the darkness. And Jesus was the light of the world. And Jesus came, and the light came, and behold, the light came, let there be light, and we all pass from darkness into light. That's like Paul and Silas. We prayed and sang at the midnight hour. And all the prisoners that sat in the Bible heard them. And all the cells were opened by a loving God shake. Whole lot of shaking going on. Can you say that with me now, you listening on the radio and you three preachers? Can you say that?
There you have it, the conclusion to episode 197. That was part two, God's Will is Your Deliverance. Be sure to catch Pastor Paul's podcast every weekend, starting on Friday is part one, and part two is on Sunday. Next Friday, June 10th, will be A Spiritual Wind. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.